In the name of Jesus, amen. Our Jesus promises, he is the Lamb of God. Faith says, I come, and your dear little Lamb promises today that he gives you words to help you endure suffering. Jesus says, a little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. You will weep. You will lament, the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Jesus has a lot of wills, promises. And he promises you, you right there in the pew, you right here on this Sunday morning, you have, and the promise is, you will endure hardship. That's a promise. You will have sorrow. That's a promise. But your sorrow will turn into joy. That too is a promise. Now, there is at least two reasons in our texts for today that help us endure suffering. Is one, we know that they end. And two, we know survivors. When you're enduring a hardship, it is incredibly wonderful, incredibly comforting to know someone who has actually gone through it, right? Walk you through it. Look at you and say, I know. And it's better now, right? Cancer survivors, widows, people who have had surgery, faithful parents of all types of children, knowing how difficult it is for you as a parent right now. People who have experienced any type of trouble, and they can look at you and they can say, look at me. I know exactly what you are going through. I know it's hard. That's the promise. It will be hard. But I'm here now. I'm still going. I'm still plugging along. I'm still alive. There was sorrow. I did lament. Some of that sorrow is still clinging to me. It is still hard, but it is better now. I did have sorrow, but there is more joy. Now, as a young man, there's one thing that I have noticed, that when you get a group of mothers together, that eventually they will start sharing birth stories, right? It doesn't take long. And there's quite a comfort in this, especially, I think, for mothers who are pregnant but yet have not gone through the labor, because they're listening and they're hearing. Yeah, that's what I might expect. One pastor that I respect invited me to consider what it would be like for Eve. Eve, who had the promise, birth is going to hurt. And that's the only promise that she had. She had no one else to look at her and say, this is what it means that it's going to hurt. She had no one to look at her and say, it's going to stop, I promise. She had no one to look at her and say, but once the baby is born, all that pain, it was hard, you might not forget it, but you will have an amazing amount of joy. She had no one to look at her and say, I know what you're going to go through. It's going to be okay. At the end, your sorrow will turn into joy. Imagine that. Imagine Eve just going through birth for the very, very first time with no one else to tell her what it was going to be like, how it was going to end. And if you're like me and you're a man and you really can't imagine that, then imagine Adam. And everything that he experienced everything as one who experienced it for the very first time. Growing old, getting sick, having all sorts of suffering in the world, having his children rebel against him, having his children be angry at each other so much so that one kills the other, and doing it all without having anybody tell him, I know exactly what you're going through. and I'm here to help. He did it everything for the very first time. Dear saints, nothing that you are experiencing right now, this week, this life, this year, however hard it has been recently, nothing that you are experiencing is particularly unique to you. Now, you are unique. You are God's chosen one. You are perfectly unique, one of a kind. You really are. But your suffering, that isn't just unique to you. There is no sorrow that you are experiencing right now or that you have experienced that is not common to all of mankind. You aren't alone. And then during the Easter season, we have an amazing, amazing comfort. We say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. And in saying this, above all, one of the things that we are saying is that I know someone who's experienced it. And I know someone who survived. I know someone whose sorrow turned into joy. And I know that sorrow is not the ultimate goal. That suffering, that hardship, that trials is not the ultimate goal. That the Father placed wrath on the Son. That the Son endured forsakenness by God in a way that no one else can imagine. That the Father placed on the Son our sin. And that the goal wasn't just to beat up Jesus. It wasn't just to make life really, really hard on Jesus. That is never the goal of suffering. The goal was to have mercy on you so that you don't get what you deserve. That's the goal. Christ was beat up so that you might have the peace to know that you are a child of God. Christ suffered for our sins so that you might know that you never, ever, ever suffer alone. So you right there, sitting in the pew, suffering. Whether it's just a little suffering and you're doing okay this week, or whether it's a big pile of stuff that you have a difficult time enduring. Here's a promise right now. God is not out to get you. God is not putting a big pile of stuff on your plate just to be mean. And you don't get what you deserve. Now, sometimes you get right up the alley of what you deserve. When you sin, there are consequences for sin. If you mock, if you gossip, if you take people's names and drag them through the mud behind their backs, you might have your name dragged through the mud behind your back. You might have people gossip about you, mock you. It might come all the way back to you and you might say, ouch, that hurt. Maybe I shouldn't do that to other people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Judge not, and ye will not be judged. If you don't want your daughter lusted after, then quit lusting after other people's daughters, right? If you were not of the Christian faith, ignorant of the Christian truth, you would want others to be calm and gentle and kind and patient with you as they encourage you in the way of Christ, in his grace, in his mercy, not to shove it down your throat. That would not be very comfortable. So do that to others. Be kind, be gentle. Don't judge, forgive as you have been forgiven. You don't get what you deserve. But sometimes you get a little bit of what you deserve. Jesus says that at the end, you will have a joy that no one will be able to take from you. That is a very important point. Because you, like me, too often put your joy into things that can be taken away from you. And you know what happens when those things are taken away from you? When you put all your trust upon them and they cannot handle the weight. It hurts when they're taken away. It hurts when they fail you. When you put all your trust in feeling really, really good, When you put all your trust in a relationship, when you put all your trust and your hope in your money or some new amazing goal that you think will change your life but is outside of the Lord's promises, when those fail, they hurt. You put all your joy into one basket, and that was the wrong basket. You broke the commandment. You trusted in another God, and you shall have no other gods. But when Jesus promises things, he promises that they are the thing that will get you through. He promises that when you get the forgiveness of sins, that that is what you cling to when you come to church guilty, when you go to bed feeling the burden of your sin, the promise you don't have sin in the Father's sight. It's gone. It's wiped out. Everything has been nailed to the cross. You are forgiven. When your life has collapsed and you have lost your spouse, lost your friend, lost the person that you trusted in the most and that got you through, here's this promise. Death is not the end for those who die in Christ. Yea, though I die, yet shall I live. There is the resurrection. There is the promise of a happy reunion. Death isn't the end. You will see them again. Jesus has survived, and there are many, many more to follow. Jesus promises, I am Lord. And God be praised for that, because we look around in this world and we see so many things that are much more powerful. Political forces, military forces, economic forces. But Jesus is Lord. That is the promise. When those things seem powerful, promise. Jesus, he is Lord. And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Maybe that doesn't hit you real hard today. Maybe you don't feel forsaken by God. Maybe your week went really well. Maybe you felt like you did a lot of good things this week. But if you have nothing to cling to, if your conscience is incredibly guilty, if the only thing that you think you deserve is wrath from God, if you feel that everybody has left you, everything good that you had in your life, the promise, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, is the promise that gets you through this life. Don't cling to things that can be taken from you. Cling to the promises that never will be taken from you. God is not out to get you. When he disciplines you, it is not because he is angry. He is at peace with you. When you suffer trials, it is not because you are receiving the wrath of God. It is because he loves you, and he wants you to love him even more. When you are invited every single Sunday to search your heart, search its depths, find the sin that is clinging so closely to your flesh, and you find it, know that God is not out to punish you for it. He is out to remove it, purify it, forgive you. He is out to show you his heart, and it is a heart that stopped beating one time, suffering trial and persecution. It is a heart that stopped for your sin, but hallelujah, that heart is still beating. Suffering will turn into joy. Trial will turn into peace. Hope is the answer. Love wins, dear saints. Look at Jesus. Look at his hands. Look at his side. You belong to him. Sorrow will turn into joy, and he holds you with those hands. He does not grow weary, he does not grow faint, and he holds you. He who doesn't grow weary doesn't grow faint. He holds you, and it is so important that he is the one that is holding you, because you do grow weary, you do grow faint. You who are young, you who are old, and anyone else in between, you grow weary and faint. You cannot hold on to Jesus all the time. You come to church so that your strength, your grip might be strengthened on him, but you especially go to church to know that his grip and his hold on you will not stop. He will not lose a single one, and he comes to renew your strength. Wait on him. He renews your strength as you wait. You know survivors. You know ones who had cancer and survived even though they died. You know survivors of car wrecks even though they died. You know infants who have survived death. You know ones who can get you through to the end because they say, I get it, I've experienced it, it will end, your sorrow will turn into joy. And you have known many brothers and sisters who are cheering you on, who have tried to live a holy life that they failed, but they didn't cover up their sin. They confessed it. They said, I need some help. I need to go to church. I need to receive Jesus's body and blood. They tried to keep the marriage bed pure. They tried to love their spouses. They tried loving the brotherhood. They tried praying for their enemies and honoring a corrupt government. They tried and they survived. They suffered, but yet they live. They now see Jesus. That's how it ends. Having a joy that no one can take from you. That's how it ends. And today, you get that joy right now. Not just a joy for the future. That's true. You'll get it. But a joy right now. People can take your money away. Your health can be taken away. Your relationships can be taken away. Your job, your government. Those are all things that can be taken away. But today, in your ears, you get something that can't be taken away. The promise that Jesus loves you. The promise that you are baptized. The promise that you receive food into your soul. The very food that goes in your mouth. That will bring you to the end. No one can take that joy from you. In Jesus' name, amen.